Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Cowboy Church. My name is Susie McIntyre Eaton.
And my name is Russ Weaver.
And Russ, you got another really, really good sermon for us today. And
I've got some good material.
I hear it's on Daniel.
It's on Daniel.
I think even children will like this. So grandmas and grandpas need to gather their grandchildren.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, I'm not going to be talking about Daniel in the lion's den.
But right, of course.
That story, though, sets Daniel up for everything else that happens in his life.
Exactly.
And you know, the only thing Daniel ever got in trouble for?
What?
Praying.
We said it at the same time. I was like, that's a no-brainer. I didn't know. I was going to let you say it, though.
No, but that's what intercession is. And Daniel gives, well, here's kind of the setup. When I was a kid, we lived next to the Air Force Base, and we had the Chief Master Sergeant. He was in charge of jumping out of the airplanes of the Special Forces. Uh-huh. Well, they had a day where they had a bunch of dignitaries from Washington come in, and him and his troops are going to skydive out of the... And his wife was standing next to the general over that was over the entire Air Force. And they dove off of this. They went into a canyon just beyond where the generals and stuff were standing. And this guy's parachute failed to open.
Oh, my.
And he crawled up the parachute, and he's untangling his parachute.
Oh, my.
And when he dropped over the edge of that, he still didn't have his parachute untangled, and his wife passed out.
Oh,
and he got it opened up enough where it didn't hurt him. Well, the next day, when they went up, they went back to work the next day.
Uh-huh.
Next day they went up, and before they jumped, he says, "So we're going to pray." And they said, "What's the matter, Sergeant? Are you scared?" And he goes, "No, I'm not afraid." He said, "I just hate to repent that fast again."
so wouldn't want to do that one again.
Yeah, so part of intercession is preparing by being the person who's prepared. And Daniel prayed three times a day.
Mm.
And so when the need came, he was there to pray and to intercede without having to go through the whole process of repenting again.
Right. And God truly exalted him. He put him in high places.
Yeah.
He put him in high places. So I'm going to sing a song, and Russ is going to speak, and you don't want to miss this. This is going to be a really, really good sermon. It's in Daniel.
In Daniel.
So get your Bibles ready.
Chapter
9. Get ready, and let's go to Cowboy Church.
We're only passing through to a better place. Amen? The only thing that lasts forever is love. A mansion on the hill is a lovely sight to see. But like any other house, it's only temporary. Home is anywhere you choose to put your heart. If there's no love inside, it'll soon fall apart. Ashes to ashes, dust into dust. Buildings will crumble and bridges will rust. Mountains will disappear. Rivers will dry up. So it goes with everything but love. Now you can drive around in a long limousine, but if you don't know where you're going, it won't mean a thing. Just a hold an empty hand knows just what it means to be a wealthy man. Ashes to ashes and dust into dust. palaces will crumble and bridges will rumble. Mountains will disappear, rivers will dry up. And so it goes with everything but love. They all pass away. There's just one thing that's put here to stay. Ashes to ashes and dust into dust. Kingdoms will crumble and bridges will rumble. Mountains will disappear. So it goes with everything but love. And so it goes with everything but love. So it goes with everything but turning the windmills. He's turning them out on the plains. When Jesus is pumping the water, you'll never be thirsty again. A lady rode up to the windmill. Her heart was heavy and sad, and sin had been her bad. At noontime, a stranger came riding up to the windmill that day and asked for a cool drink of water to help him on his way. She said, "Sir, the mill is not turning. Wind is silent and still, and there will be no more water until the wind turns the wheel. I can give you some water, dear lady, and you'll never be thirsty again. Sorrow and the shame it shows on your face." She knew then that she'd met the Master and walked now under his grace. This lady, she jumped on her pony, her sins washed whiter than snow. Would flow. She told them that she had met Jesus out on the plains that day, and how his spiritual water had made her happy to say. Now Jesus is turning the windmills. He's turning. Jesus is pumping the water.
All right. I'm kind of excited about what we've got today, because if every person that is listening to this program today will get involved in this process, we can change the world. And I'm really excited about it. So let's pray and we'll get right into it. Our Heavenly Father, I pray today that you would use these words to bless and minister and challenge the people that are listening today. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be efficient and effective at what you're calling us to do here. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be talking about intercession. We'll be talking about the book of Daniel, but especially the 9th chapter. And we won't read the whole 9th chapter here because we only have a few minutes. But the entire 9th chapter has to do with Daniel being involved in intercession. So just to set it up a little bit, he gives us some understanding. It says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years wherein the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face to the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication and fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So Daniel was, it was revealed to him about the desolation of Jerusalem and the abomination of desolation and some of the things that went through, and they were able to calculate exactly. And if you go back through and really read and look at the dates and all of those things, the exact date to the day that Jesus was to be crucified was prophesied in Jeremiah. And Daniel, in his prayer time, understood that prophecy that it was going to happen to the day. And when he understood what that desolation was going to happen, that there was not going to be a stone unturned, and that the 70 years after Christ, when the abomination of desolation took place in Jerusalem, the Bible said, or not the Bible, but the history tells us that that Jerusalem it was encapsulated by three different political groups. And these political groups, I'm going to try not to talk about politics too much, but this is history. And so you have to understand something. If we don't study history, we're bound and determined and destined to repeat it. So we don't want this history repeated. But the city of Jerusalem was ruled by three different categories or three different people. That it was not like the Republicans and Democrats, but they had three of them instead of just two. And they were so divided that when the Roman Empire came in to take over the city, and when they absolutely destroyed it, they came in and they set around the city, set their encampment around the city for about 6 months. And in those 6 months, the infighting that happened between the political parties was so bad that they completely, Jerusalem itself, they completely destroyed the city of Jerusalem. They had even gotten to the point where they had nothing to eat, and they began eating their babies. And it was a wretched train wreck, terrible time, because three different parties couldn't figure out how to coexist in the city of Jerusalem. And the Roman Empire understood that, and they understood what was going on. And so they just surrounded them and they let them destroy themselves from within. Now, with that history, Daniel, years before, he is studying this history and he realizes what's going to happen. And in chapter 9, he goes in before God. And see, Daniel has already lived through a couple of different administrations. Daniel was taken out of Israel when they conquered Israel, and he was put with the the individuals that were supposed to be, they were supposed to be brainwashed into believing like the new government was supposed to believe they weren't in Israel anymore. And Daniel rose to the top. He rose to the top of the group, and he was the one guy that had more authority than any of the rest of the people they'd brought in. And the only thing that Daniel ever got in trouble for, and this is the key to this message, the only thing that Daniel ever got in trouble for was praying. The only thing that they could get Daniel on was that every morning, every noon, every evening, he would open his window and begin to pray. And he wasn't doing the silent prayers because they wouldn't have been able to hear him. Daniel would open the window for the world to hear, and he would begin to pray, and he'd begin to seek God for the nation of Israel. And we have recorded in chapter 9 some of his intercessions, his intercession that he was praying for when he realized that the abomination of desolation was going to happen 70 years after the Messiah, and it happened exactly as Daniel prophesied. But Daniel had to deal with this, and Daniel, in dealing with it, the first few verses, Daniel began to confess the sins of Israel. He began to confess the sins of Israel, and it struck me that why would Daniel think that he was the guy to confess all the sins of Israel? Why would Daniel think that? And the reason is that because Daniel, in his position, see, Daniel started out and he was loved by King Darius. Well, he went through these guys, but he was loved by King Darius. And because he prayed, he was thrown into the lion's den. And Daniel was such a man that every time they changed kings, he lived through 2 different kingdoms and 4 different kings, and he became the number one person, the number one individual behind the king. But he was the highest ranking individual from Israel that there was in that regime. And he just kept coming to the top. No matter who was in charge, they kept bringing Daniel up. And for 4 different generations of kingdoms and kings, Daniel was the most, he was the highest ranking Israel person from Israel that there was, Daniel. And so Daniel, in his first few verses, he begins to confess the sins of Israel. And I thought, why did he do this? And then it became obvious that Daniel understood his position as the highest ranking individual from the nation of Israel. And it was his job, it was his responsibility to begin to pray over Israel and begin to seek God. And the Bible says, as we read earlier, "And I set my face to the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity." And he goes on and tells all the things that Israel had done to put them in the position that they're now in, is a position of slavery, in a position of just terrible. And he realizes this is not as bad as it's going to get. There's going to come a redeemer that they reject. And at the end of that, in 70 years later, there's going to be the abomination of desolation. And I will tell you, at the abomination of desolation, the 3 political groups destroyed themselves. And when the Roman army came in, they realized that they had set on fire everything from the inside. And he wanted to save some of the valuable things. And history tells us that the gold that was there in the temple, in Solomon's temple, they had over 7, I think it was just under 17 tons of gold that was a part of the temple. And they burned it down, and the gold melted and went into the rocks and the stones, and the Romans wanted so much to salvage that stuff that they tried to salvage it as it was burning down, and they completely destroyed the temple to where, as it was prophesied, there was not one stone left on another stone, not one stone left on another stone, and the stones were blackened and destroyed. And they looted, but they didn't get much out of it because the three factions of Israel had already destroyed Israel from within. And they'd taken almost everything of value, and the only thing left was to harvest the gold that had melted between the rocks. It was a horrible, horrible situation. And Daniel, as the leader of Israel, now was praying, God, please, we have sinned. We know we've sinned. And as the leader, his responsibility was to lead the charge for intercession for Israel. And he prayed. And that's what intercession is prayer. And Daniel prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, because he was the leading person from the children of Israel. You know, when I was in school, we had an assembly one day, and I'll never forget this assembly. It made such an impact on me. The guy brings in one of these jars, and the only time I'd seen jars like that was they used to put milk in them. But they had big lids on, you know, like mason jar lids. And it was clear. It was glass. And he filled it about a third of the way up with pinto beans. And then he put four walnuts, you know, they were about this big around, put four walnuts in there. And he's in an assembly, and he takes this jar with these pinto beans and these walnuts. And he said, I want to show you something. He'd turn it over, and all you could see is just pinto beans. You couldn't see the walnuts. He had them covered up, and then he would go. He would shake it. And with every shake, those walnuts would rise to the top. They would rise to the top. And he'd turn it over, put it this way, shake it. Those walnuts would rise to the top. Put it back this way, shake it. They would rise to the top. And they kept rising to the top. And he said, do you have any idea why those walnuts keep rising to the top? And he just paused. He says, those walnuts are not pushing themselves to the top. Those pinto beans, because they're smaller, they're getting underneath those walnuts and they're pushing the walnuts to the top. And the reason that Daniel, catch this, the reason that Daniel kept landing on the most important seat in government for the Israeli people is because he had made himself something big in the eyes of God, and God kept using the rest of the people to bring Daniel to the top. Daniel interpreted dreams. Daniel had visions. He was smarter than the wise men. The lions wouldn't eat him. He had a reputation. But most of all, he had made himself into the person that God wanted him to be. And the only trouble he ever had is because, and this is how you make yourself into somebody. You spend time with God, the one who created you, and God can use you to do the thing that God wants you to do. And one of the most important priorities that we can do is we can pray.